is kind of outside my comfort zone, to be honest, but here I am. I'm excited to be with you, and I'll actually be picking up where we left off with our lessons downstairs. All right. We've got kids in the audience today. So, I'm just going to pray to start. Father, again, I thank you for this opportunity that we can be all together as a family. I just pray that this simple message would speak to those who maybe haven't heard it before, and for those of us who maybe have, that it would be a fresh reminder, and that you would just be honored in everything, God. Amen. Okay, so the last few weeks downstairs, we've been learning about the early church. And when I say the early church, I'm talking about the church that started gathering just after Jesus went back to heaven. Back then, church wasn't a word that referred to like this building that we're in. We'd call this our church. If someone says, where do you go to church? A lot of you would say Transformation Church. But back then, it was just the people who gathered together. They met in homes, in synagogues, things like that. They called them little Christs or Christians. They were following in the way of Jesus and imitating him. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 47, and get a little peek of what that looked like. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So that sounds pretty wonderful, kind of idyllic, actually. But let's zoom in on verse 44. I think we have it on the screen. Maybe my PowerPoint didn't work out very well. It says, all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They shared all their stuff. They shared their land. They shared their money. They shared their food. They shared everything. They took care of each other, and they depended on one another. Some of you in the audience, I'll get back to that in a minute. I'm not just leaving it there, but some of you in the audience have a puzzle piece. Can you, if you have a puzzle piece, and I say audience, I mean the congregation, hold up your puzzle piece if you have one. Very nice. Can we all look around and see that we've got some people with puzzle pieces out there? Okay, and the kids also have some puzzle pieces up there. They're busy working away on their coloring and magnet tiles, but there are pieces up here as well. So now, I want the people in the seats here who have a puzzle piece to put the puzzle together. However, I want you to do that without getting out of your seat and without passing your puzzle piece to anybody else. Should we wait? Give it a shot? You're not getting very far, are you? Randy's giving me a look. He's like, ah. Okay, so that's not going to work. That was very clear very quickly. So let's change the rules a little bit. If you have a puzzle piece, I want you to be like the church in Acts 2, and I want you to, as it said, meet together in one place and share what you have. So you can come up to the front. Can I get a couple of kids to help these guys out? I don't know, the last time they made a big floor puzzle was. So it's a two-sided puzzle. This is the side that we're going to be building. Can I get some younger ones to help these older ones? You can go over to the floor over there. And we're going to let them go at that and see how they can do it. Who thinks that they're going to be able to assemble the puzzle this time? Josh does. Yeah. Here's the thing about puzzles. Each piece is totally unique, totally different. But the puzzle is not complete until every single piece is together to create the whole image. Has if there's any puzzlers out there, has anyone got a secondhand puzzle either given to you or you picked it up at the thrift store? Yes. And you open it and you do it and there's a piece missing? Oh my goodness. Or there's two pieces missing or something like that. You feel so gypped. So frustrating, right? The only way a puzzle can be properly made is if everyone who has a piece contributes to the building of it. So could the kids have made the puzzle with just the pieces they had at their table? No. Could the adults, even if I let them get out of their seat, but just stay amongst the adults, would they have been able to make their puzzle? No. So I think you guys see where I'm going here, right? There's something else in life that requires many parts that need to be carefully working together in order for it to function properly. We're going to read about it in the Bible in a letter called 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. Let's start at verse 12. How are you guys coming with the puzzle? Is it hard? It's a 24-piece floor puzzle, guys, just so those of you who can't see know what they're dealing with. But they're working away at it. 3+ years. I think between all you got more than 3 years. There might be some more on the table or in the box. See what I mean? This is a great illustration of what I'm talking about. They need all the pieces or it's just a struggle. Okay, verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. I jump down to 14. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, I think that's a really awful visual picture for me, by the way. Whenever I read this verse and picture the whole body as an eye, it grosses me out so badly. But anyway, if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And we'll jump down to verse 25. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. So we at Transformation Church are a body, just like that puzzle that they're working on over there. God has put each of us parts just where he wants us to be so that we can make a whole all together. And without each other, we're incomplete. So before I go any further, I want to tell you about a game that I learned downstairs with the kids. It's called Flinch. And for anyone who knows me very well, you can already guess that the game didn't end well for me. The main rule is that you can't flinch, basically. Someone has a ball, which they can either pretend to throw at you or actually throw at you. And you have to decide in a split second whether or not it's a fake throw or they're actually going to let go of the ball. You need to catch it if it's a real throw. But if it's just like a pretend throw, they're just eking you out and you just stand still, then you're out. Does everyone understand how that works? Flinch and you're out. Catch it or you're out. I'm not good at either of those things. So, the first round, I actually thought I was doing pretty good because someone pretended to throw the ball at me and I held perfectly still. And I was like, I'm pretty good at this. But the next round, the ball was actually released and came soaring towards my face. And this is where I really was wishing that my body would work together. My eye saw the ball coming and it told my brain, catch the ball. But my brain said to my arms, no, don't flinch. You're not supposed to flinch. And my arms said, Roger that. And they just stayed like that. And the ball came as I watched to my face and hit me in the face. My face paid the consequence for the way the other parts of my body, my arms, my brain, failed to help it. And after that, my entire body was pretty much done with that game. There's another side to this, though. Think about a time when you were super duper duper hungry. What's your favorite food? Does anyone have a favorite food? Any favorite foods out there? What was it? Chicken. Okay, so you're super duper starving. Chili. Chicken and chili, maybe? Just a little bit of both. Okay, so you're super hungry, and you sit down, and there's a bowl of chili in front of you. Now, your eyes see the food. Your hand reaches for a fork. Your arm pulls it into your mouth. You chew. You swallow. It goes into your digestive system, and it, your body makes it into energy, and your whole body benefits from that meal when you're super hungry. So it takes many... They did it, guys! Let's give them a round of applause. It's not always easy, but with teamwork, they got it. Noodle soup. Chicken noodle soup is another delicious food that we can strengthen our body with. So just like it takes many parts to work together to keep a body healthy, we as a church need each other. Earlier this morning, I said that kids belong in our church. Why do kids belong in our church? I think the short answer is because they are a part of our body. They are a part of our puzzle. We need them. And they need you. We cannot underestimate the role that we play in each other's lives. Verse 22 of our passage says, "In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary." The word necessary caught my attention. Other Bible translations use the word indispensable. I really think that these kids are indispensable to our church. They have a role to play that we might be tempted to underestimate because they're not hands or ears or eyes or arms or whatever we think us adults are. But they are not just cute. They're not just helpful. They're not just inspiring. They are all of those things, but they're not just that. They are necessary. They're indispensable. They have a role to play in this body called Transformation Church and the Greater Global Church. We need them, and they need us. We need each other. So this is the part of the Sunday school lesson where we'd normally ask about practical application. We know that we need each other. The Bible tells us that. We just read it. So how do we live in a way in which we are sharing in each other's sufferings and are glad with one another in a healthy body kind of way? What does that look like for us? So what happens when the piece of the puzzle that's next to you just really rubs you the wrong way? Maybe you're not a huge fan of pint-sized humans who are still discovering the volume knob. Maybe your friend isn't playing nicely with you or is taking your turn from you. What if the nose next door to you keeps sniffling, and as an ear, it just really, really annoys you? That happens. So we're a bit too big for a class discussion, so I won't necessarily open that up, but think about that as we look to Ephesians 4, verses 2 and 7. It says, "Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ." That last verse there, it says, "However, each one of us was given a special gift." So how do we fit all those special pieces together? How do so many parts manage to get along and take care of each other? Well, in that passage, it looks like first, there's a lot of God's Spirit helping us out. But let's keep going down to verses 15 and 16. It says, "Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." He, that's Christ, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And as that's happening, while we're all doing our special work, we are working towards the goal of having a healthy body that is growing and full of a word that starts with the letter L, love. Yeah. There are so many places in the Bible that talk about us loving one another. But just a couple of weeks ago, Hannah actually talked about love from 1 John chapter 4. She talked about how God's love for us is not dependent on our performance, how much we do, but rather our relationship with him. How we, it's not about how we can merit or earn God's love based on how good we are, how polite we are, how helpful we are, these things that we tend to look for in other people, not always in ourselves. But God doesn't love us based on those things. So we can carry that over to today and realize that we don't love each other based on those things either. If we look at verse 11, it says, "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other." And in verse 19, plain as day, it says right there, "We love each other because he loved us first." If we were to go back to our passage in 1 Corinthians 12, just a few verses past where we left off, the chapter ends by telling us how we can each do our own special work with the unique gifts God's given us as a body. But then immediately following that, Paul, the guy who wrote that letter we're reading from, he lets us in on a little secret. It's like he leans in and he winks and he says, "But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all." And then we go into 1 Corinthians 13. Does anyone know what 1 Corinthians 13 is about? Love. That's right. And you know what? He even sandwiches in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. He says, "Let love be your highest goal." So all that stuff about body, gifts that we're given, it's sandwiched between, like, love everywhere you go. So going back to my question, how do we learn to each be a part of a body altogether? If we look again at Ephesians 4:2, we can do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. We act with humility. Maybe that means admitting we're wrong sometimes. We're gentle towards each other. Maybe that means speaking kindly to our friend who is not doing things the way that we want them to. We're patient with each other. Maybe overlooking a little bit of noise coming from our fellow churchgoer. And most of all, we love each other as Christ commanded us to do. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 10 says, "Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins." And down to 10, "God has given us, each of you, a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to serve one another." So as I was putting together that video that the kids made, I started noticing a theme. Do you guys remember what some of the things that were said? We had overflow with love. We had love your enemies. We had God loves me. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Consider others as more important than yourselves. God will always love us. And I love my family, even my daddy. The kids get it. It's held together. All the pieces of the puzzle are stay together by God's love. So, in closing, let me borrow what Pastor Jeremy's been trying to teach us this past year and tweak it for my own use. We'll call it the kids' ministry version. What if we gather as a body because we need each other? What if we grow healthy because we love each other? And then all that's left to do is go. All right, so I'm going to invite the kids back up. We're not quite done yet. They've got another song. And Jesse and the team can also come back up. I'm going to pray while they do that. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Pray that it would work in our hearts in a way that only you can make it do. In Jesus' name, amen.